Say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at your house with your servants. So Simon and Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Verse 20, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He said, he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. 24. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. The angel who was betraying him answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it.
Thank you. So preparation for the Passover. In order to understand the context of Matthew 26 and this section of scripture, we need to understand this from a Jewish mindset. The audience that Jesus is speaking to are the Jews. Passover took place over the course of 8 days, so it was not just a one-day event. And so in order to understand that, turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, one of the things, one of the prescribed activities were the Jews were to clean their homes and remove any leaven from the house, from top to bottom. Preparation had to be made, and so this was not some haphazard event that took place. And it also foreshadows what we do here in this 21st century. The Lord's Supper requires preparation. It takes place before we even get here on Sunday morning. And so we see that God, in his grace and mercy here in Exodus chapter 12, and verse number 1 says, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And we see also in Matthew, we saw that a part of the preparation was that they were to select the male lamb, and it was to be a lamb without blemish. What did they do for Jesus? Jesus himself is the lamb. He had no sin. And so again, we had to bring God. God is interested in not only quantity, but he's also interested in quality. We always should bring God our very best. And so it says in verse number 4, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Here is the criteria. Without blemish, a male of the first year, you shall take it, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now we shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they shall eat. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted on fire, without unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs you shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast it in fire, the hair, the gall, its legs, and its entrails. They had to cook the whole thing. Nothing was to be taken out. And then verse 10 says, you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff on your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is what? The Lord's Passover. And so, preparation. It was to be eaten in haste, because we do not know what time the angel of death would come. Why did they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel? Why were they commanded to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel?
So when the angel comes in, he will
see what? He will see the blood. Yeah. Yes. And so, did we sing that song, "What Can Wash Away My Sin Is Nothing But the Blood of Jesus"? It is the blood of Jesus that sanctifies us. Yes. And so there was power in the blood. And then it says in verse number 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Let's see. Notice verses 18 through 20. It says, "So the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 12th first day of the month. At evening, that's approximately 8 days. 8 days. So the statement in Matthew 26:17 says, "On the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to him saying, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And so unleavened represented sin. Leaven represented sin. And so sin had to be taken out. Any symbol of sin must be removed in order to worship God. Yes, acceptably. And so remember that point. Remember that point, because we're going to come back to it. We're going to come back to it. I'll just finish reading the final verses. Exodus chapter 12. Someone read verses 18 through 20, please. Exodus 12, 18 through 20.
"In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 24th day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the foundation of Israel, whether it is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling. You shall eat unleavened
bread." You shall eat unleavened bread. Anyone that eats that leaven was to be cut off from among the people. And so it was necessary to purchase and prepare the materials needed for the Passover feast. It was also necessary to find a place in crowded Jerusalem where the feast could be held. You think of, let's say Leicester City is playing the Dallas Cowboys, hosting the Super Bowl. It will be very hard to find a hotel in that city during that time of the year. And so keep that in mind. And so what was the place? The place was an upper room. And so Jesus says to them, Jesus sent Peter and John to make the preparations in Luke 22, verse 8. They were to follow a man who was carrying a pitcher of water, and he would show them a large upper room. And so again, borrow. You know, one of the things we like to throw parties, don't we? We like to throw parties. We like to entertain. But we like to do a lot of times in other places. Jesus, not only had a borrowed room, he also had a borrowed tomb. And so he says to look, go into the city and you see this man carrying a pitcher of water. You say, you stop that man. And it would be very unusual for a man to be carrying the water, for this was usually done by the women. You remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4. This was, culturally, it would be very unusual to see a man walking along carrying a pitcher of water, but that was for free. And so, Jesus, in verse number 18 of our text, it says, "The teacher says, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, the announcement of the betrayal." Verse number 20. "He sat down with the 12. Now after eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I?" And so up until the very end, the disciples did not realize that one of their own number, Judas, was a traitor. They did not see any difference in the way Jesus treated Jesus, which is a remarkable testimony to our Lord's patience and love. How do we treat people? How do we treat people who betray us? How do we, because the human, all of us have a human side. You know, the Bible says if your enemy strikes you on the left cheek, or for the other cheek, or the right, or for the left, yeah? But Jesus did not change the way he treated Judas. Did Jesus know that Judas was betraying? And how do we feel when someone betrays us? But all of us have been a Judas. Every single one of us has been Judas to Jesus. You see that? And so it was during the Passover feast, as they were eating, Jesus announced the presence of a traitor. The disciples looked at one another, wondering who the traitor might be known. Is it up? Jesus gave the bread to Judas. Look at Psalm 41 and verse number 9. Psalm 41 and verse number 9. What does the Bible say? This was a prophecy. Psalm 41 and verse 9 says what?
Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his head against me.
Has lifted up his heel against me. Every one of us had betrayed, and every last one of us will be betrayed. And Jesus himself. And so, as Judas accepted it, knowing full well that he was betraying his Lord, for Jesus giving the bread was a gracious act of hospitality. For Judas, accepting the bread was an act of treachery. And so, after Judas took this morsel of bread, the Bible says that Satan answered him in John 13, 27. According to John's gospel, he then went out to keep his promise to the religious leaders in delivering Jesus into their hands. And even then, the other disciples did not know what he was doing. The Bible says he went immediately out, and it was found in John 13, 13. For Judas, it was still nighttime. In life, every decision is an opportunity. Every decision is an opportunity. And so, and all sin is a choice. Every sin is a choice, isn't that right? And so, Judas already made up in his mind what he was going to do beforehand. But the Bible says it was prophesied that Judas would betray Jesus, but he still had the opportunity to do what? To change his mind. Just like us, we have the opportunity to change our minds. And so, the Bible says in Matthew 26, in verse number 23, he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man goes just as it's written, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said to him, "Rabbi, is it I?" And you have said it. In John's gospel, the Bible says that Jesus turned to Judas and said, "What you do, do it hard. Do it quickly. Do it quickly." You see that? And so again, opportunity was presented for Judas. What is 1 Corinthians, is it 13? It says that there is no temptation that's come to man, but God is faithful to do what? To make a way of escape. That you may be able to what? That you may be able to bear. But you know what our problem is? God makes a way of escape, but we don't want the way. Never. When you're driving here on the highway, and in America on the interstate, they always say exit. there's an exit sign, but always when we exit 3 miles, exit half a mile, and you see the exit coming up, but you know what our problem is? We see the exit, but we keep on driving towards the city. And so, he says, Rabbi, is it all? He said, you have said. And so that brings us to the Lord's Supper. In Matthew 26 and verse number 26, and it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when he had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so Jesus took two elements from the Passover feast, the unleavened bread and the cup. We read that in Exodus 12, verse 8, 18 through 20, and used these to picture his own death. The broken bread pictured his body given for the sins of the world. The fruit of the vine, verse 29, pictured his blood shed for the remission of sins. Verse number 29 says that Jesus says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What do you mean by new? New in my Father's kingdom. I want to offer you four things that made this new. Number one, it was a new covenant. It was a new covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31. It was a new covenant. What's a covenant? A covenant is a contract between two or more parties with conditions to be met by both parties and must be ratified with some token. Jeremiah chapter 31, I would encourage you to mark this scripture in your Bible. You remember, and also in order to understand these verses, that in the beginning God chose a people, and those people were the Jews. And he drew a line around these people and called them his covenant nation. And in order to be a Jew, and in covenant relationship with God, you had to, for male, you had to be circumcised. Remember that? And that was a sign for the covenant that God made through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, in Deuteronomy, Moses said, you shall teach the children when they rise up and when they go to bed. And so, you were born into covenant relationship with God. And then you had to be taught who God is. Yes. And what was the problem with the covenant? The people sinned. They did not keep the covenant. And so God, in his providence, prophesied or designed that or designated that he would make a new covenant. He says, Jeremiah 31 and 31 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, verse number 32, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, and this is spiritual Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he says, here's the difference. This is what made the new covenant new. He says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins, and I will remember, and their sin I will remember no more. So, in order to be in covenant relationship under this new covenant, you have to be taught first, yes, and then you enter into relationship with God. How do we know that? The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then it says, the second half of the Great Commission, in verse 20, he says, well, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. Now, as Brother Leonard Morton will say, Christianity is salvation by education. Christianity is salvation by education. Yes? And so in order to become a Christian, you have to be taught first, and then you enter into covenant relationship. Under the old covenant, you were born into covenant relationship, and then you had to be taught who God was. And so he said, new, first of all, it's a new covenant. Secondly, it's a new deliverance. It's a new deliverance. Remember, the Passover was to be eaten in haste. Yes? And a part of the Passover preparation meant that you had to remove all leaven or sin from the house. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible talks about this man who was living in sin with who? Who was he living in sin with? With his father's wife. And so many of you perhaps have read these verses. And even for me, what's new learning? You'd be surprised what you learn when you read your Bible. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1 says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. He said, listen, the people on the outside, the unsaved world, this is shameful for them, but you've got this going on right in the church. And it says in verse number 2, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you, from among you. For I indeed, this is Paul speaking, am absent in body, but present in spirit, I have already judged as though I was present him who has so done this deed. And it says in verse number 4, here's the solution. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What's he saying? You need to purge this person out. You need to cleanse the church of this sin. He says in verse number 5, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And here's the point. In verse 6, your glory is not good. Do you not know that a what? A little leavens the whole lump. And so the Jews understood that. They understood that in the Passover, that a little leaven in the house would make them unfit to partake of the Passover. And here he uses this sin as a symbol of this same act. He says therefore, and what is therefore? As a result of what I say before, he says, therefore, purge out the what? The old leaven. What for? That you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed. What? What did Jesus go to the cross for? To purify us. Huh? And so he says, you understand the practice of the Passover. In order to prepare for it, you had to get rid of all of the leaven, which is symbolic of sin. And so here in the church, in the first century, he says you need to get rid of this sin because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and Christ is our new lump, our Passover. And so this new deliverance, number 3, it's a new day. The old day was the Sabbath, according to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. And what does Acts 27 say? Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says what? On the first day of the week. What does it say? The disciples came together to do what? To break bread. Paul ready to depart on the morrow. You see that? It's a new covenant. There's a new deliverance. There's a new day. And number four is new demands or priorities. Jesus said what? Do this in remembrance of me. What we're remembering? The sacrifice. We're remembering the Passover. Yeah? That God in his providence, when he sees the blood, he will pass over us. Now, that does not mean you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, let a man examine himself. What's he saying? What is Paul saying, let a man examine himself? Is he saying to that we ought to be sinless? Or not? Because if that was a qualification, none of us could partake in the Lord's Supper. Because we are covered by the blood. And so when God sees us, he sees us through the blood as if we had not sinned. See? And so, here's a note. Jesus, you remember, in John's Gospel, Jesus ate the bread, he ate fish and honey after his resurrection, according to Luke 24, 41 through 43, and John 21, 9 through 15. But there is no record that he drank the fruit of the vine. He said, I will drink this new with you in my Father's kingdom. Yeah? And so, if we had time, and maybe you want to study it up, when he says new, this word new, like we talked about tongue, there are two different types of tongue. There is, what's the first type of tongue? Chronos tongue, that's how we measure time, days, minutes, hours, weeks, years. And there's so what's the other type of tongue? Kairos, that's God's tongue. That's God's tongue. But also there are two types of there are two types of new. It's new in time and new in coming. You see that? It's new in time and new in coming. This is a new kind of covenant that Jesus is talking about. And even when we read in Jeremiah chapter 31, he said, they shall all know me. There's two types of knowledge. There are two types of knowledge in the Greek. And so he said, I'll drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Purge out the lump. Acts 27, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. We need to understand again, everything that Jesus said meant something. And from the Jewish audience or perspective, they understood what Jesus was talking about. And so for us, again, we sometimes skim over scripture, not knowing the full depth and breadth of it. And so he says, I will partake of this, I will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Any thoughts or comments?
Yeah. I have to go back to the question. Think about chapter 26.
Yeah.
You asked the question about how do you treat the betrayal. I think it goes much further than what Kenny Roger said.
Yeah.
You go back to the same book of that Thomas chapter 26, you find that Christ has emphasized information. It never happened. So at that moment, they still have what they call a mutual relationship. The relationship was not disconnected at that hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same also today, we treat everybody equally. If somebody has information, maybe somebody doesn't want to betray or somebody says something about you, at the most time, we get them the phone. But when we only have that, the question is that, where do you get it? How? When? All those questions. You see, it doesn't allow to grow as a Christian. Mm-hmm. The fact is that, what they say, is it true in me?
Yes.
If I said it,
yes.
If I said it, oh please forgive me. Mm. That's the true spirit of a Christian.
Yes.
But in the social party, you want to be treating you like God and the first information about you. Then I have that yes. good mind to come to you and say, brother guy, I heard that you want to attack me. Mm. Why are you going to have your brothers? Oh, Ranoki, please, I'm sorry. But what we see there is that who told you? Where do you get from it? How? And those things.
Yeah.
You see, he killed the spirit itself. And he found that directly Judas betrayed Christ. There was disconnection. There was total disconnection. There was no mutual agreement between them again. And Christ is going. But the person that done the evil could not have good relationship with you again. So who said I'm going to not repent, we saw it.
To fix it.
To fix it.
Yes.
We saw the end result.
Yes.
Yeah. Saint Peter also denied him.
Yes.
There was a story of the feeling that I have to disobey what? My Lord.
Yes.
I've done something wrong.
Yes.
You see? It came to repentance.
Yes.
And that's the area we need to look into.
Yes.
A brother and sister that is a world that has a repentant spirit.
Yes.
You need to work to that to get in there.
Yes.
You don't have a brother, you have done it in that scripture now.
Yes.
Where your brother or sister or the big friend, the big whoever it may be,
yes,
that don't have a repentant spirit.
Mm.
And there should be a kind of like a COVID-19 to that distance.
Yes.
He said if it is possible,
yes,
you should meet with people.
Yes.
That means it might not be possible to find.
Yes,
true. More than that, if I can't pay for all repentant spirits. I thought my wife did something evil. He had told the same, and he changed. He did the same thing, even me today.
Yes,
when you do something wrong to God, God forgive me. I'm kept on repeating that same thing.
Yes.
You become unforgiving sin. So that day I want us to look into it. When we are saying betraying, before you betray Christ, there was sin mutual.
Yes.
Because with them.
Yes.
There was connection with them.
Yes.
But maybe he does the act.
Mm-hmm.
The connection was connected.
Yeah.
And so it also happened, even in the hands of the Lord. If a brother behaved on the record of the game, if that's all we ever like that, and because that person refused to change,
yeah,
we read in the Bible there now. He said what?
Curse it
up. Push it down.
Yeah.
So it will not affect the Lord, so that in the hands of the Lord.
So that's good, because see, here we have in Matthew 26, you look at Judas, who betrayed Jesus, and Peter, who denied Jesus. Two different outcomes. Both had the opportunity, I suggest, to make it right, is what you're talking about, because see, it requires action. That's what a covenant is. Requires action on both parts. But you said it earlier, the Bible says, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You may not win everybody. Yeah. And everybody may not come to repentance, to sorrow, to an acknowledgement that I have trespassed against you. And so you must make a decision. And it depends on the gravity of the sin. You see, because here it was in 1 Corinthians 5. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth to say, this sin is shameful and you must purge it out, because a little leaven, because if it's not dealt with, it's like cancer. If it's not dealt with, it can infect
everybody,
the whole body. You see? So God has always, of God always sets his standard, and he also tells us how to regulate your use. You see that? So there's always a safety mechanism built into scripture. You don't have to reinvent your mind. I wonder what it means to you in this circumstance. The Bible says you shall know them all by the fruit. So I can say, because Judas, from the, and I'll get to you, from the rest of the disciples, he looked like he was alright. Jesus knew that. Now we're not Jesus. Jesus is looking. And then, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it up the right path? Who could it be? And in John's gospel, it says Peter and John asked the Lord. And so, here it was, how did they know who the betrayer was? By his actions. By his actions now. And so, but again, there was still opportunity for both parties, Judas and Peter, to make things right. And that's an example for us today. You know, we need to be Jesus in our attitude and in our actions. Yes.
Yeah, I think you just answered the question. I was going to ask, see how Peter had the opportunity to repent.
Yes.
Would that be the same for Jesus as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so here was, even when Jesus was sitting there, he says, one of you will be betrayed. And he said, the one that dips his hand in the dish. Now, it couldn't be more clear than that. You see, who broke mama's good china? Huh? And you said the dog did it, but you did it. Huh? So, well, how did the dog get in the house, Johnny? Well, I can explain. Well, who's this dog? What she's trying to do? You need to come clean. But you know what we do? We make excuses. We deny stuff, just like Peter. Huh? That's what we do. And we cover it up. Or we try to justify it. Yeah, sister, someone else at the hand up. Yes, sister Hannah.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes. We see here that God is so loud.
Yes.
And He give us chance to change our mind.
Yes.
Because of you are trying to teach us today. You see, Abel and his brother.
Yes, not a good one.
Yeah, you see how God loves him and He told him, sin is in your door.
He's crouching at the door.
So, careful.
Yes.
But he didn't obey God. Mm-hmm. You know, so God gave us a chance to change our mind.
Yes. Now, another thing we need to bear in mind too is that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, even here in Matthew 26, it is Jesus who is the host. Jesus is the host. He invites us to come to the table. So every year, Christians have 52 opportunities to sit at the Lord's table. And so when a Christian forsakes the assembly, and when I say forsaking the assembly, it's not just a one-off thing. This is their habit. This is their habit. Yeah? And so what are we saying? That the law is not important. The law is not important because He paid an awful price so that you and I can go free. You see that? And so this table, the Lord's table, we ought to reverence this. Not to say we're going to, you know, like there's anything special. But it's symbolic of something, of this newness. Yes? And so God would see that our heart was more important. Yeah? Our heart. What is our heart? Why did we come? Because He's done more for us than we could ever do for Him, and even for ourselves. You see? Let's move on. I didn't put the points there, but you notice here, Jesus moving on. In verse number 31, his prediction, then Jesus said to them, and I underline in verse number 31, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter, here is Peter. I like Peter. Peter's like us. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, where is that word, I will what? Huh? But what we said last week, you better be careful when you say never. Never's a short time. I would never do that. How could he do that? I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Here's Peter again. Verse 35, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And what happened? Here's all again. And so said all the disciples. You know, he had good intentions. When I became a Christian on June 25th, 1990, and I was on fire for Jesus, I said, Lord, it's you and me. I'm in this for the long haul, but I didn't see the trouble that was coming. I didn't see the trouble that was coming. But Jesus, he knew it was in us. At the Mount of Olives was a private garden that Jesus was often used for this private retreat. And here comes this situation. He says, now listen, fellas. He came to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, who were they? The sons of Zebedee?
James and John.
James and John, I like them. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Can you watch with Jesus? But you know, who came to the garden with Peter, James, and John? With the disciples? Who came? The devil came. The sleep devil. Huh? Devil come to church. They mean the church is the best place. And he said, he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed what? Willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, this cup cannot pass away from me until I drink it. Your will be done. And this cup is not the Lord's Supper. This cup is his assignment. The word cup is his assignment, not to be confused with the Lord's Supper. And he came in verse 43 and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples, verse 41, and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. There's a time to pray. And prayer prepares us for the storm ahead. Prayer prepares us for the storm ahead. Don't wait until the fire to get a fire extinguisher. Don't wait until the accident to get insurance. Huh? Don't wait until the doctor says you should have gotten here 6 months ago to say I'm going to start taking vitamin C. Or vitamin D or whatever. You got all the prescription on the shelf. And then the doctor says, are you making up that medicine? I'm doing fine, doc. But you're not taking the medicine. What's the medicine? Huh? This is your spiritual vitamin right here. This is it. Now, you know what our problem is? It's no good unless you take it in. It's no good unless you digest it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now we hear a lot of word of God, but how much of it is getting in us? Huh? Because, listen, you won't know it's an apple tree unless you see what? The fruit. You can't call yourself a Christian unless you see what? Some fruit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, temperance, patience, goodness, kindness, mercy, fruit. Mercy, fruit. I'm going through something. That's your long suffering. Folk don't like me. That's the love. Patience. I got a boss that's always on me. You have a lot of patience. You talk to my brother George. You want to come work with me? He said, no, Brother Smith. You can do it. You can do it because what God, you can do it. Because, let me tell you why you can do it. He gave you a F-A-M-I-L-Y. That's where you exercise that fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Say, God's got a sense of humor. And so, next week, we're going to see. God wants us to submit to Him. He wants us to submit to Him. And why does He do that? Because Jesus did it. Every once in a while, you will have a garden of Gethsemane moon. You say what? Gethsemane means oil press. Huh? There's some pressure. You under some pressure right now? Jesus is already doing it. So, everything that you go through in life is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be like Jesus. Huh? sometimes we fail the exam.
Would you
want to have any
travel or just
a course
of
session?
What's that
verse 4
do you say? Could you not work
with 1 hour? 1 hour. Jesus said 1 hour has come, not a little hour. This time. Yes? So it's time. Yeah? Not a specific promise time. Because you remember they tried to take Jesus over and over. Did you try to see Jesus and he said, my hour has not come? Because Jesus is not a man's son.
No, I said my hour has not come.
Yes.
It's
intimate. Isn't that
the fact? But
so,
now,
this is the moment in time that God has designated for this particular activity to take place. You see? So for us, you and I get shocked and surprised by God goes, now how could this happen? God already knew that was coming. Yeah. Nothing catches God by surprise. You get shocked. You get surprised. You get called off guard by God. Yes. That's why, what does Romans 8:20 say? All things work together for what? What are the things? The good things. We want the good stuff, but we don't want the bad stuff. But you got to go through something, huh? Because you won't know how good God is. You will not know how good God is until you've been through some bad times. We pray, we want all the good stuff. But everything God purposely includes all things. To then do what? Love the Lord. And are called according to whose purpose? His purpose. What's God's purpose? That you be saved, that all men be saved, and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's right.